That's how it said, the founders said, as they wrote the Constitution, they had the Bible in one hand and the Constitution in the other hand. That's something we can be proud of. This is the longest running constitutional republic in the history of the planet. Many people said the Constitution is the greatest human document ever created. Patrick Henry said this. Everybody remember Patrick Henry, one of the founders? Here's a quote from Patrick Henry. He said this. There it is. Right there. He said, Victory Church anniversary is coming right now. Patrick Henry says, it cannot be emphasized too strongly. I think I didn't send it to you, probably is what happened. I messed up. That's why you don't have it. But I have it. Okay, so that means you have to pay attention. Okay. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Patrick Henry said. Did I send you John Quincy Adams? Oh, good. I did something right. Okay. There's Patrick. Patrick is here. Oh, I'm going to read it again so you can read it with me. It cannot be emphasized, because it cannot be emphasized too strongly, so I can read it twice. Or too often. That this great nation was founded not by religionists. Very important. Religion is great, but there's a lot of religions. Not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, now John Quincy Adams, who is the sixth president of the United States, he was an amazing person. At 14 years of age, he was sent as an ambassador to Catherine the Great, and he was the sixth president. Here's a speech that he gave on the 4th of July in 1837. Look at this. Just a few things to show you where our nation came from and what kind of nation we are. Regardless of what anybody says today, you can't change these facts and what these people said and believed and what they did, okay? So here's what he said. Why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior, what's that? Christmas. Okay, so he's going to talk about two holidays. He's going to link Christmas and 4th of July. You maybe never thought of this before. Next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated feast returns today. Is it not that in the chain of human events, they saw history as his story, God moving through that's what history was. And he said, in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. These two. That it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation. In other words, they believed that the founding of our nation had everything to do with the Great Commission. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations. The gospel dispensation. Is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact, which is our Constitution, on the foundation of the Redeemer's mission upon earth? I don't care what anybody says today, as a Christian, you know that our country has a purpose by God as part of the gospel dispensation. That it laid the cornerstone of human government on the first precepts of Christianity. So that's why I celebrate 4th of July. As a church, we should honor it, we should venerate it, because we go back and we say, this America was birthed by God. And I don't have time, but you can read in the book of Revelations, I believe America. A lot of times God used a symbol to represent a country, like the bear, the leopard, you know, things like that. And what is the symbol of our nation? The eagle. And right in Revelation 12, as it kind of chronicles all of Earth's history, it says the wings of the eagle were given to the church. That's America. So it's something to be proud of. It's great. I hope you celebrate 4th of July. Have lots of fun and fireworks. And in your mind as a Christian, be thinking, boy, these two are not separate. They are together in my heart and my mind. Fast forward now to 4th of July, 1999, the day we started Victory Church at a Holiday Inn that doesn't even exist anymore. We outlasted Holiday Inn. on Tower Road and Newbury Road, 4th of July, happened to be a Sunday, and I thought, that's so providential that we are beginning planning our church. I've got some pictures from the early days. This first one is the first service we had, me preaching. Look at that beautiful banner on the, and if you look closely to the right is a, what did you call, what do we call those? Overhead projector. How many remember overhead projectors? And you had to have, what did you call those things? Transparencies you had to put on there. That was high tech right then. And that's the first little room we were in. And the next one is, that's not the, our first music group was a boombox, no real people. I was our first worship leader because I sat on the front row with a little remote that changed the songs. And I almost killed that boombox several times. It was, you know, all we could afford. But in the middle of worship, it would skip. Do you know how much of a quench of the Holy Spirit in the middle of worship? And I'd be pushing the buttons. I'm the worship leader. I'm the whole group. I'm everything. And, oh, I hated that boombox. This was a great improvement. This was our worship team, except for Rebecca's not in the picture, but she was our worship leader. And we got Brenda on the right. We got Barbara. We got my daughter, Christina, who was 12 at the time, and Hope Kwaja. And that was a great improvement because they never went, nah, 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 nah. They did really, really well. And the next picture is the day that we ordained Pastor Courtney in the year 2000 as associate pastor. That was an awesome, that was in the Holiday Inn right there. The next one is actually, if you look closely, Kevin Crames being baptized in the Holiday Inn pool. And if you wonder why there's tables and chairs in the pool, there was a hurricane that day. And just before the baptism, the workers went and took all the pool furniture and threw it in the pool so it wouldn't blow away. We had to make a path, but he got baptized anyway, and it worked. He still loves the Lord. And then we moved to the Kanapaha Cafeteria, Kanapaha Middle School. How many remember that? Look at that. That was great. And we had lots of fun there. In fact, some of you remember, and when we were in Kanapaha, a great event happened. Three FSU students got saved one day. And we have their picture right here. It was such a great occasion. These three FSU students came and God say, you should have seen them getting water baptized. They had so much fun. And then a squirrel ran across the yard, and we've never seen them since. They took off, and they haven't come back. God bless FSU. And the next one is our own Rob getting baptized in the Crames' swimming pool. When we were at Holiday Inn, we used their pool. When we were at the Kanapaha, we used to use the Crames' pool. It was not too far away. And then the next is when we started working on this building. There's Bill Olander working on some door. Probably that looks like that one right there. And then we've got Jerry Healy doing some work on that door over there. All this, you know, we laid that tile. You should have seen this place before we came in here. And then we even had, look at him. All right. Jordan, and I mean, is he cool or what? I mean, he's always been cool. He was born cool. This could be the cover of GQ magazine. And then I don't know who those are in the back, but that's looking at the stage. You know, see the stage on the bottom hadn't been carpeted. We're just laying that. All this work was done. We moved in here 10 years ago. So we have 18 years of helping people get closer to God. 18 years of really just focusing on one thing, trying to fulfill the Great Commission. That's it. Just win souls, make disciples. Win souls, make disciples. That's what we're all about. And we've seen 1,953 people commit their lives to Christ, get saved, officially documented that those people, yeah, give the Lord a hand. That's 1,900. I don't know how many healings, water baptisms, we haven't kept a good record on those, but Holy Spirit baptisms, people released in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, people encouraged to live by faith, lives changed. We could just go on for hours on individual stories, just real people. Those 1,953 are real people. Some of them are sitting in the room today. But here's the thing. We're not done. We're not done. We're just getting started, really. We just have to keep on with the mission of winning souls and making disciples. And as a church, we have three groups that help guide our church. We have a group of overseers, which are men of God who either pastor churches or lead great ministries that are not a part of this church. I think it's important that they're separate, but they oversee me. They oversee our church, pretty much everything that we do, you know, major changes or general direction. They're involved. They oversee our finances. They see every detail. I think it's important to have accountability, you know, with someone bigger than yourself. And these are men that are part of ARC, the Association of Related Churches that we're a part of. So we have that group. We also have a group within the church we call the Founders and Elders. This is a group of people that came together before the church was born to pray about birthing the church and fast and pray, and is this God? And we've been together since the beginning. So we have that group that pretty much is responsible for any big changes, general direction, but definitely any kind of financial commitments goes through this group, that we have always come to a unanimous decision on any decision we've made for the past 18 years. We don't vote, we pray. And if we can't all agree, then something's wrong. If we're not all here, and so we have the founders and elders that help guide this church. And then we have a group that I call the lead team, which is composed of three pastors plus our worship leader and our new college leader. And it's great to have that different mix. There's five of us that we get together every week. And this is really an executive team that says that we're executing the decisions that come from the overseers and the founders and elders. And then the executive team says, are we carrying this out? Can we do better? How do we tweak it? How do we make it better? So we meet every week, every Wednesday night, and we look at the Sunday service. How did it go? What could we do better? What could we do different? How do we improve? How every little different department in the church, we look at it and say, how's it going? How's the leader doing? What can we change for one goal to be more effective, winning souls, making disciples? And I want to share some news with you today that I hope we are all on board with. It's really not anything you haven't heard, but I want to give a clear trumpet call, because we have felt strongly impressed, these three groups, as we've come together, and there's 100% unity, 100% agreement on this, that we need to move back to Gainesville. Now, that's not a surprise, because we didn't move to Micanopy to stay in Micanopy, because we have land in Gainesville. We started in Gainesville. We thought this was going to be a very short term here, a year or two, and we'd be on our land. It's turned into 10 years. And in the last couple months that we've been meeting, we said, you know, listen, we've just got to put our foot down in the spirit and say, we can't just keep waiting for a miracle to happen. There's nothing wrong with that. But we've just decided we have to be more aggressive in the spirit. We have to be more aggressive in the natural. You have to act. We have to do something. We have to move. It's hard to steer a parked car. I feel like we've just kind of been a parked car. We need to get moving, and we've said we're going to just pull out all the stops and give God an opportunity to open a door for us. We need to start pushing on some doors, pushing in different directions. We've said we need to be in total agreement as a church. Now, those three governing bodies, we are in 100% agreement. And I believe if all of us are in 100% agreement, it will happen. It reminds me of when God looked down at the people and they were building the Tower of Babel, and he said, they're going to accomplish it because they're in agreement. And then there's other scriptures. One can put 1,000 in flight. Two can put 10,000 in flight. Three-stranded cord. Unity is very powerful. If we all can agree that, why do we want to move to Gainesville? We don't like Micanopy? I live in Micanopy. I was raised in Micanopy. I love Micanopy. But the why we want to is because of the mission. Win souls, make disciples, and we can be much more effective where there's more people. That's just simply it. We started in Gainesville. We didn't start in Micanopy because we knew that's where God wanted us. Now, we've got down here because of a string of events. We haven't been able to build on the land, But we have just refocused and said, okay, we were Victory Church of Gainesville. We still are Victory Church of Gainesville. We're just not in Gainesville. We are determined by the end of this year to be back in Gainesville. Now, you say, how? I don't know how. I think it starts with this. We are determined by the end of the year to get back in Gainesville. And in my life, in 62 years and 42 years of being a Christian, God never told me, here's what's going to happen in 6 months, in a year, in 5 years. It was always, here's what you do today. And I feel like here's what we need to do today is we need to come into agreement that our mission is still the same for 18 years. Win souls, make disciples. But we need to be in the center of a group of people that we can win souls and make disciples of. We can't be detached. And we found over the years that this, most of us communicate, the hub, the group, the biggest mass of people is on the other side of the prairie. And trying to get them to stay, come here and stay here has been very difficult, and we have to get back on the north side of the prairie somewhere, and we feel like we will be able to fully fulfill our mission the way God has called us to do it. So we have put out 5 possible ways to do this, and here they are. Number one is, I'm just giving you some details, to be with us, okay? ARC. We've been talking to the Association of Related Churches that we belong to. If there's some way they can help us financially, move to Gainesville or build on the land. All right, and I've been talking to them for over a year, so we don't know how that's going to go. Okay, so that's option number one. Option number two, now, the next two, I have been, in my mind, like not open to. And I have had to humble myself and say, okay, it's not what I want, it's what God wants, and we're going to do whatever we have to do. Number two is leverage the land. And we've been looking, we had an opportunity about a year ago to move into a building on 34th Street, not far from the land. Most buildings that you look at, they're not set up for a church. So to meet code, you have to do certain things. The bathrooms have to, you know, meet certain code, fire ratings. And then just practically, you need rooms for children and sanctuary. And that would have been an excellent location. It would have been great for us, but it would cost us $75,000 to move in there, plus the rent. And that was the sticking point. We didn't have the 75 because we spent everything on getting the land to the point of building. So that's another story. I don't know if I want to go into that, but we own the land. The land's paid for. We spent a lot of money complying with the county. It took us 7 years to get to where the county said, here, you can build. And we bid it out. The bank was going to loan us $650,000. The bid came in at $1,025,000. So we've been stuck there for 4 years. But we spent everything we had buying the land and all the surveys and studies that the county wants you to do, okay? So when this opportunity to move for $75,000 came up, we didn't have the $75,000. But I was not open to leveraging the land, which now I'm saying everything's on the table because we've determined we're going to move to Gainesville, which would mean borrowing against the land to make a move like that, okay? And all of these have challenges. The reason I didn't want to do it was I didn't want to make a rent payment and a mortgage payment. But what I'm saying is, okay, I'm going to put down my objections, and we're just going to let God do, you know, we'll figure it out. We're not going to do something stupid, but we need to have more doors, okay? The next one is sell the land, which is something I've been opposed to from, if people have mentioned this before, well, sell the land and you can move. And I don't know, I've just always, no. And now I'm like, okay, put it on the table. Why? Because our goal is not to own land. Our goal is to win souls and make disciples. Our goal is not even to own a building. It's to win souls and make disciples. So I've realized I've just been too stubborn. And I'm putting it on the table, all right? It's up there. And I'm going to let God do what God wants to do. So it's on the table. And number four is a lateral move, which is what I have been looking for, which what I mean by that is the rent that we pay here, if we can just move someplace else and pay the rent without any, you know, initiation fees to get in there, that's kind of a no-brainer. You know, we can do that. But we've just never been able to find that, because it pretty much would have to already been used as a church. Otherwise, it doesn't have the bathrooms and the parking and the fire sprinkles and the children's rooms. So that's still on the table, and that's a possibility, and I want you to be aware of that. And then number five, which has always been on the table, is a miracle or something we haven't thought of. God could do, and hey, that's still there. But what I'm saying is I'm not just going to keep going with number four and five. We just need to open all the doors that we can. So can we be on board with that? That we are going to make up our minds. We're going to move, even if it's something that I don't want to do, but I want to move to Gainesville more than I, you know, have these other things that I've kind of, you know, realized I put up and said, oh, no, we'll never do that. Matthew 18, 19, Jesus said, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. That's what we're counting on. And when we say, okay, we're willing to put down our prejudices, our comfort, our preferences, what I want, what I don't want, I'm willing to lay it down. And I've had to come to grips with this. Say, okay, I'm willing to lay down my, non-negotiables and say, all right, I agree. Our mission is to win souls, make disciples, and we must be more effective. We must be more effective at it. We've done a lot, but I know we can be more effective. And I know we've changed a lot of things within the church over the last 3 or 4 years trying to tweak it. The one thing we haven't changed is we realize our location is a choking point for us, and we need to open that up some. So our mission is bigger than my comfort. Hey, I live 2 miles from here. But if I have to drive 50 miles to work, it's worth it to win souls, make disciples. It's bigger than our preferences. It's bigger than our sacred cows. It's bigger than our traditions. Do you know what is more powerful than the Word of God? Does anybody know what's more powerful than the Word of God? Does anybody know? Nothing. That's not what Jesus said. It's not what Jesus said. He said there's something more powerful than the Word of God. Watch this. Matthew 15, 6. Jesus, thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Traditions will trump the Word of God. That's what Jesus said. He said, you Pharisees, you've got the Word, but you've also got traditions, and they've squashed the Word. And I realize I got some things I'm holding on to that is keeping us from accomplishing, so we have to watch out. And this is true. In America, 51% of churches in America are dying, and I guarantee you that 100% of the ones that are dying because they're putting a tradition above the revelation of the Word of God and what God's doing. The message never changes, but methods change. They do. And sometimes you get in love with your tradition, and it's a method that's not working anymore, so it's not reaching our generation. And we've looked at that hard, and we look at it every week. We've changed some of our traditions in this church because we said, you know what? It's keeping us from reaching this generation. And we have to be more in love with the loss of our generation than we are with our traditions. And some people won't give up with it. Whatever it is, it might be their hymn book. No, we're never going to get. Or it might be their, you know, the King James translation. No, we're never. Or it might be the color of the carpet. It could be anything can become a sacred cow. And we have to be willing. You know, I love Kenneth Hagin said that. He went through several moves of God, and he said, what all ministers have to be careful of is the leaders of one move often are the biggest critics of the next move because they think it should always be done the way they did it, and that's not the way it works. It's waves of the Holy Spirit, and he was a rare person who rode 3 different waves of the Spirit and was a leader in all of them. I want to be a Christian that is always in tune with what God's doing, not with only what he did 50 years ago. I got saved in the charismatic movement. There's a tendency for me to go, let's go back to all that. But God's moving, man. When the cloud moves, move with the cloud. Don't stay back where the cloud was 50 years ago. So we have to be willing to put this stuff on the table. So, like, we just had a fundraiser to put a structure on the land. And when, you know, we were talking about this, I'm like, oh, man, we're just... Well, it's portable. We can move it, you know, or something might happen before. I don't know what's going to happen, but again, we can't put something up to to prevent us from doing what God wants us to do. We're going to have a college ministry. Praise God, we've got that money is for the college ministry. It's going to launch one way or the other. Yeah, you know, if we put that up there, and it might be a while, definitely we can use it. But if we do move, it's portable. We take it with us, you know. Or we just can't have things that are, oh, this is a, they keep us from going where God wants us to go and do what, because remember, what's the goal? Win souls, make disciples. So we just have to keep on putting God first. Matthew 6:33, one of my favorite scriptures. And Jesus said this. He said, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So, you know, that's what I'm saying to us. So let's seek first his kingdom and whatever we need to do it. And I think that's true for our personal lives. Seek first. You know, a lot of us, you know, we've all got decisions to make, right? We've got struggles with, what do I do? What do I do? I mean, just encourage you. Seek first his kingdom. That's what I found out to be true for 42 years. I didn't know the path that God had for me for 42 years. It wasn't the one that I thought. But I'm just convinced of this. If you get every day and read your Bible, open your heart to the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you what to do today. And if you do that every day, you will not miss the will of God for your life. You'll be right where God wants you to do, right where he wants you to be. He doesn't always tell us 10 years down the road, even a whole year down the road. It's just every day. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. And I believe as a church, if we just say we're going to win souls, make disciples, we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, that the door will be open to us. We're just going to keep on winning souls, making disciples, putting God first, see what God does. How many are up for the journey of your life for the kingdom of God? How many are on board? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, maybe something I said upset you today. Talk to me. You know? Talk to me. I'm open to hearing. And maybe you say, well, it's about time you said that. Well, you can tell me that too. Really. But I hope we're all on board. And when anything, as it unfolds, I will reveal it to you. Right now, I don't know what's going to unfold. I just know that we have a resolve like we've never had before. To know that the past 18 years is not good enough. The next 18 years, we need to do better. We need to exceed 1,953. And I don't know if we're even going to be here in 18 years as far as, you know, the earth. I don't know the timing of the Lord, but all I know is you just have to keep going like, you know, like he's not coming, believing that he is, but you have to work like he's not, because when he does, he says it's going to be a surprise to everybody. That's what the Bible says. But I know every day we're one day closer. There's going to be that day. But I want to be like what Jesus said. He said to his parents, he said, "Didn't you know I would be about the Father's business?" So that's what I want us to be, is about the Father's business, which the mission for the church is very clear. Win souls, make disciples. I mean, you could say it 100 different ways. I understand that. It still boils down to two things, the Great Commission. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teach them, baptize them, lead them, win souls, make disciples. Are we on the same page? Can you just believe with me and set our mind? Now, I'm telling you, nothing will be impossible if everybody in their heart just says, we're going to be back in Gainesville by the end of the year. If you just say that in your heart, you say, you know what, we're going to be, and that might be an inconvenience to you. It is to me, but I'm willing to pay the price. And you just say, for the sake of souls, I will pay whatever price for the sake of souls. And you just say in your heart, you know what? I am agreeing. I'm in agreement. By the end of the year, Victory Church will be meeting in Gainesville. And I am going to be excited to tell you what doors God opens for us when we come into agreement with that. How many are in agreement with that? You just say, I'm in agreement with that. I'm in agreement. I could do that. All right? Let's pray a prayer of agreement right now. Father, we thank you for birthing this church. We also thank you for the days that are ahead of us to win more souls, make more disciples. And we are in agreement right now that you are going to make a way. You're going to make a way. We'll be hands and feet. We're going to look around, but I know we're not going to make a way. You're going to make a way. It might be so plain right in front of us. There's going to be some way, Lord. We're trusting you. We're believing you. We're asking you. Open a door. Make a way. We're in agreement. We want to be back in Gainesville by the end of the year. God, you are able. Like the centurion that came to you and said, my servant is dying. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And the servant said, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus, you said, I've not found such great faith in all of Israel. I pray that you would look down from heaven today at our hearts and say, I have not seen so much faith in a church ever, this great faith. I have to make it happen for them to open a door to get back in Gainesville, because that is my will. Look down from heaven now and see our great faith, that you are going to do something that when it happens, we're going to look back and go, how in the world? What? That was amazing. We're just going to say, God, you did it. So here we are today, just your humble servants. We know so little. You know so much. We bring what we do have and we put it in your hands. We ask you to bless it, make it a reality. Do it, Lord. We believe and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I got a very important question for you today. You might be here today and you say, you know what? I've really never committed my life to Christ. And I would ask you, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You would say, I don't know. I don't know. Hope so, think so, not sure. Well, that's a very important consequence to leave to chance. And you can know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question, and here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. What does that mean? That means when you were born the first time, you had no active will in that. To be born again, you use your will and you say, I surrender my life to Christ. I ask him to forgive my sins. I ask him to come live on the inside of me, make me into a new person. If you do that, he will do that. He will forgive your sins. He'll make you into a new person. You might be here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God. And I want to get back on track. So every head bowed and every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you, and today you want to make a fresh start, just slip up your hand. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. Thank you. Anybody else? You want to pray this prayer with me? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? All right, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help them out. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I will follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer and meant business with God. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, on your connection card, there's a little box, and if you check it...